So he said, if you're going like the Rambam, the Gemara flows as follows, okay? The Rambam posits that, the Rambam says that it was a Masoretic problem. There was some sort of, or corruption, as Rav Tucker may use the term, right? Is that better, or degradation? Either one, okay. It was a problem.
Corruption implies active change. That means something would come in and corrupt it. But degradation means kind of just kind of like...
Well, no, the Rambam says something did come in and corrupt it. He says, like, it's the rove, what do you call it, what? Yeah, okay. That's okay. All right, so what ends up happening is, in the first version of his Hashrat, Rabbi Abba said what? He said, you know what? Economize. Why did they blow lots of shofar blasts? Let's make it one set, right? There's no reason not to, which would imply that both of these are one of a kind, right? Like Zechar and Zechar. Then the Gemara's response essentially is, no, we treat these as, for now, we'll call them different qualities, shame calls, which means they're separate, which I'm going to get back to in a second to refine that within the Habanus. Hold on. And then the conclusion of the Gemara is, no, what did he do? Whoever the explorer was who discovered it, whether it be Rabbi Abba or I was saying that it was there all along for the taking, it's irrelevant. At the end of the day, the point is that this was Shvarim Shur was always a possible sound, conceptually, theoretically. This was always possible. Okay? Practically, though, it wasn't done. Okay, that's the core of the sugya right there, according to the Rambam. Okay, now, sometimes... Right, there's tekiah, long, short, let's say go in order, long, short, tekiah, right? Tekiah, long, short, tekiah. Okay, and in the Masoretic ether, okay, what do we have? We have floating around there, it's either A or B. Factually, it's either A or B. So again, I blow tekiah... Let's say long, short, tekiah. Only one of those two could actually be whatever God meant when he said Yom Shura. Is that clear? Right? Is that clear? Again, if I blow... You look tired, Grisly. You look tired?
All right.
Oh, no, I say you look tired. Are you tired?
A bit.
Okay. So,
All right. That was not the right usage. Oh, I got it.
You got what?
I got a Havi Maskana.
Oh, hold on.
Yes.
So, you go tekiah, long, short, tekiah. Okay? Only one of these two could be right. Okay? So far, so good. There's no tricks here. The only thing is, and therefore, whichever one is wrong would function as a hefsek. Right? So if I blew tekiah and then long, and
it's...
Well, just make it simple for now. There isn't. You're right. I'm using it to make it... All right? Only one of them is authentic. Okay? So if I blow tekiah and then... long, and it turns out long is not the authentic sound. So what would you call this now? A hefsek, right? So we'll call that X. Okay? And same with here. If it turns out this one is the authentic one, and this one is not, then this becomes hefsek. Now this should, now what's bothering Rav Eli is that this whole thing should have condensed in one question. Okay? And yet for some reason the Gemara divides up into two. One second. First Rav Avira comes along and says this, and then Ravina comes along and asks this. Why didn't they condense it into one question? So the first step you guys are taking is that somehow you're going to say that in the short one, in the long one contains the short. That's what you want to say, right? But if you're really saying that, and remember, in my opinion, covering this whole section is the idea that there's some sort of qualitative difference between these two sounds. So I'd say like this, there's two ways you can, or I'll put it in strict halachic terms. There's two ways you could define the nature of the hefsek. One possibility of the hefsek is to say that there's a psul in the trua. Okay, I mean it's a defective trua. There's a reality of trua here, even in this one. There's a reality of trua, it's just puzzle. Okay? Ah, so why is that still a hefsek? No, I'll tell you what I think it means. I think it means it's a hefsek because what has to come after a tekiah?
True.
And what do you have here? A pasul trua. So that's your hefsek. But that doesn't mean this would be a problem, because maybe what you'll say is that vis-a-vis the shvarim trua, it's a pasul trua, right? So that doesn't mean it's a hefsek. It sounds like a trua. How does it sound like a trua? Like what you're saying. Because it has in it what? Cry. Why is longer cry, shorter cry, whatever, but that still has that element in it. Kamash Mulanda, no. That's why he comes along. He's coming along to say that it's not that it's a puzzle trua, but rather it's nothing. When I say nothing, it's obviously hefsek, but you produced zero. You haven't produced anything. In halacha, there's a huge difference between saying, let's take a lulav yavesh. What does that mean? Right, it's pasul, which means what? It still has all the characteristics, all the features of lulav, except for the fact that it can't function right now as a lulav. You can, in a lot of those cases, you can remove the psul, and now it functions again. Versus saying, I don't know, let's say like, I mean, it's not the best analogy, but let's say like leavened bread, right? That can't be matzah. That's not matzah. There's no reality of matzah attached to that whatsoever. You can't reverse, so to speak, this, well, whatever. We don't have the knowledge yet to reverse the process to be able to get it back to matzah. It's a similar thing here. And that would all apply by my initial step of saying that look at these things as qualitatively different. There's two ways you can express that. One is a puzzle trua, or say no, you don't even create a trua. So when we say that there's authentic and not authentic, what we're really going to say is that there's authentic, and it's not that one, it's a completely different sound entirely. Or do we say it's not that one, meaning that it's a trua just lacking whatever, let's say whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, like it doesn't sound the same. You understand? I can. Slow down. So what happened? Yes. Hold on, where are you starting from?
Attacking.
Oh, here, it's over here. Sorry. Yeah. All right, so Iskin Rabbi Abba. Okay, go. Nishal Rav Haigon. Stop. So that's like such a powerful statement. Because he's saying, like, the language of saying Rabbi Abba had a takana would imply that the Jews were never Yotze Tekiah Shofar. That's an amazing, I mean, that's such a strong, whatever, I think it's a very strong question. I mean, the implication is that what? Historically, from the time of whenever this corruption emerged to Rabbi Abba, no one was Yotze. That, what? Right. But in halacha, we don't play that game. You're right. It's true, but here he's not satisfied with that. Okay.
But they didn't know. Probability. They had 2 out of 2 chances.
All right, so he says, V'loshon hazeh. You're right. V'loshon hazeh. B'levavchem. Which means, Rav Haigon says, don't think in your hearts as follows. Don't chas v'shalom assume the following, which is, ki... Yeah. So don't say that what? Don't say that in the times of Rabbi Abba, Suffolk emerged. Don't say that. Why? Of what? What? Of Trua being Shloshi Abavos and the Trua being Shloshi Shvar. Meaning, we have ancient evidence, Masoretic evidence, of what?
They did both.
Okay. But meaning that it was, meaning all along it was always supposed to be, so to speak, one or the other. Meaning the bothness existed from when?
From Moshe Rabbeinu.
Like Moshe Rabbeinu, yes. You'll see, for sure it's what he's saying. Fine. Right, they both were good. No, but you couldn't make up a third type of truth. What? No, it doesn't seem that way in the cry sound. Because the Mishnah says there's only 2 kinds of cry sounds. What? No. The mission. No. You're not reading it right. You're not reading it correctly. Then. Keep going, Abe. Keep going. Veha aminan. Please stop. So what? Why is he meant? Why is he stressing the fact that? And you see, the Gemara says what? When one guy says it's A and one guy says B, Abaye on that statement says, of course, it's a machlokas. Why is he saying it's, what's the Ron emphasizing, or Rafai emphasizing by saying it's a machlokas? No. What's the Abaye emphasizing by saying, what's he emphasizing by saying, and you see Abaye says it's a machlokas, meaning what? What? Right, meaning you can't say it's Masoretic, because you're not going to have a machlokas in Misora. It's not a machlokas in Misora, it's a machlokas in... One side says it's A, and one side says B. That's Rav Hai saying, not me, Rav Hai. That's why he says it's a machlokas. It's not a question of suffix. It's a machlokas. The kachaya davar, the yamun kadmonim.
I assumed when I wrote that they were.
Kvidos. Chavasan, right? Stop. Hain. Right? Amazing. So he says, when he uses the word minhag here, he doesn't mean like, well, we'll learn about minhag later on. He means that what happened? There were two
camps.
Two camps?
Right.
Yeah.
How's it different?
Oh, you'll see. Oh, because it can't be, it's not because of a suffix. Because look what he says. He says, and from one group that did the long ones, right? Look at his lashon. He says, the ones who did shvarim kvedim, truos hain. And the ones who did yibavos kalos, truos hain. Meaning, they are both equal expressions of trua.
Right, so then how is it an argument?
Hold on. No, Ellie's right. In other words, well, hold on. So, Ellie's right. The way you'd have to set up such an argument is to say that since if there's no halacha nachamina, then why would you choose one genuchi versus yaldo? So you have competing philosophical things. One guy will say like this reflects the idea of crying better, right?
So what?
But you're right. But at this point in time, and this is why you have to start appreciating. I'll try to get to something. Good. Okay. Now comes the problem. But here's the problem. Rav Haigon says, we know what the problem was. This thing appears as divided, okay? Nira kichaluka. Not that it is actually, it's not, again, not, what's he obviously saying? Not that they, as we know halakhically, they're both equally truas. But to the average Joe, how do they appear? What? To the average Joe, it appeared as if they were two separate sounds. I don't know exactly when that took place. Who cares? Don't be so harsh. So keep going. There's plenty of times where Chazal react to these kinds of things. So what does he say? So he says, Abi Gioan, Afapi. Kimin Hagam. Right, amazing. So he's saying, what's he saying? He's saying, yeah, look how he's so wordy. He's like, and it looked like it was divided, but it's not divided. Just like I said before, which is what? You see that there's a machlokus about it. There's two, they're both Dalit Shruas, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, he's so upset about the fact that people relate to this incorrectly, he has to explain again, it's not two separate Shruas. They're both Shrua. Both of them are Shrua. But yet, what do the average Jew think? They're not. So again, your question is a good question. So why do we care? Rabbi Abba cares. Okay. Right. So just a segue for that for 1 second. Pleaky part. When it says, but it's not a machlokas. The law of pluksahi. It's not a machlokas. Matim elos elu. Right, 1 second. So what kind of machlokas is it? Just like we were saying before. It's not a halachic machlokas. That's what they thought. They thought when Mar Savar long, Mar Savar short, what do they think? They thought it's real halachic machlokas. When they picked up their Gemara, whatever they had, which they didn't, but let's say they did, and they saw this, you know what they'd say? They'd say, oh my God, it's a machlokas. See, it's not a machlokas in that sense. Not that there's two different shuras, rather what? It's a philosophical thing. And one guy said this way, one guy said that way, but that doesn't mean it's a machlokas. Okay? And he said, Vlad Pluksahi. Right? And he says, look how strong that statement is. He's saying, and each opposing side said about the other that you're perfectly legit. So, we have a machlokas about long and short, and they're arguing about it. They start off by saying, hey man, we all agree what a true is. Right? It's a what? A cry? Okay, so fine. You're into the, philosophical ideal of a longer cry for blah 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 blah, and you're into the shorter cry for blah 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 blah. But those are secondary reasons. That's not a machlokas. You understand?
That's why they have the examiner.
Right. Now, 1 second. To be fair, notice why he has to say this because of your question. Right? If you were in the base medrash and you heard Rav Hai say this, you'd be like, whoa. The word is pleaky. He says, yeah, but that's not what it means. It means something else.
Yeah, there's no other word.
Well,
this is something you want to play as rarely as possible. It is a very dangerous card to play. But he's so insistent on this being a non-Masoretic issue. Yeah, this is the most important line now. Rabbi Bo comes along, Ra'a. Yotos. What does that mean? That's the key. In fact, he's actually giving you his entire, I mean, non-definitively, his entire svara. His entire approach is right there. Rabbi Bo is coming along to try to do what? To solve what problem? To eradicate the disease, the virus of Chalukah from Bnei Israel. Because unfortunately, the average Jew saw these two notes as separate. Of course, our question has to be, what? Right. By the way, don't ring the bell yet. Hold on, he's right. What's the problem with Rav Haigon? Why is this sequence so problematic in the way Rav Haigon reads? Let's start from the beginning. He says Tashrat. And why does he say Tashrat? So the Gemara says, right? We can't go too far away from what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say? He said Tashrat, right? And the Gemara's question is what? The Gemara says, Manashach. Iluli la. Lil Avid. Tkiya Tshurah Tkiya. Right. It's amazing. So when he directed, and I'm not going to get into the meta reason why we care about the Hamon, but if you're being driven by one concept, which is to eradicate a mistake, this is the ideal solution. Because what are you showing? You're showing that what kind of notes are these? Synonymous. Right. They're the same thing. You're blowing. No, you don't need. No, why would you need? No, because if you had a Tashant, right, what would people say? Oh, that's different than a Tarat. And they'd say a Tarat's different than Tashant, but they're not different. This shows they're not different. You understand? Yeah, but if you do a Tashrat, literally the Gemara says, yeah, but it's going to be a problem because if the yellow is the right note, then the Shvarim's a Hefsek. How could the Gemara ask that question? Because the premise here is that these notes are synonymous. It doesn't make any sense to ask that question. Oh, but stop there. How do you have to restructure that question in the appropriate framework? Again, the Gemara says, but one second, Tashrat, that's not going to work. Why? Because what happens? I blow a tekiya, and then if it turns out it's really a trura, then this becomes a hefsek. No, it doesn't. We just said before that there's no X. One equals one, right? One equals one. What? That's not what the Gemara asks, though. No, because, but yeah, really? If you only blew a Tashrat, right, people are going to say, Tekiya, Shvarim, and then the people are going to say, ah!
No,
not I, like that sound, but they're going to be like, oh, what did I do? In other words, right, so I'm saying, in his version, they're relating to it as a hefsek. That's the problem. So this won't accomplish that objective. Does it ever say anything about the Hamon according to Rav Haigon?
Yeah, he's reading the whole thing as the Hamon.
Exactly, so you have to start from here.
Why are you saying that's going to be awesome?
So one proposal, which is I shouldn't include the bias, but I will. It sounds radical. Is to say that what Rav Haigon is suggesting, he's suggesting that as a Havamina, the Gemara actually tested in the conceptual laboratory, that a test case, that what would they do? They would insert a incognito, a fake tkiya, shvarim tshuah tkiya, to as a method to get the Hamon in line, but still do a tashrat and tarat to make sure he yotze. What? Right. Now, I'm not going that far. I'm just saying that he's recognizing that they won't overcome their relationship as a hefsek. But you're going further than that. He says what? He says, take the gunnich and yellow and put them together. Okay. What's he saying there?
He's saying that's one sound. That's awesome. That any crying sound is considered a...
Well, remember. In his conclusion, he has Tashrat, Tarat, and Tashat. He has all three. So what's the function of a Tashrat now in Rav Haigon's world?
In order to solve the Machlokah.
Okay. Hey, you two, let's get to the Maskana.
Because if you did a Tashrat, or if you said Tashrat and Tarat, then you would think, oh, one of them's Ram, we're doing it because of Suffolk, because that's what you would do if there was a Suffolk, right? If there was a Suffolk, you'd do a Tashrat and a Tarat, because that would resolve the Suffolk. So he's putting this extra thing in there to show, no, it's not about a Suffolk, it's about this idea that...
So how is it expressed through a Tashrat? That's what I want to know.
Because it itself is a kosher... Because obviously if it wasn't a kosher... Like blowing sound, like Ellie, like you said to Ellie, like why would you?
That I agree with, right? Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So if you have a,
so what's it function as? Why have
right,
it? That, why not just have it?
You're saying any crying sound is a kosher and halachic.
You're saying. I want to say that by having a tashrat, by having the two notes coexist, which is the fact they can coexist, shows everybody what? If they can coexist, they can't be intrinsically separate. And what's the nafkamina? Very simple. According to this position, when you blow a shvarim, what must you have between your shvarim? When you blow a shvarim trua, what must be between the two? What must be in between the two? A breath. That's why you'll hear Bali Tokea, shvarim, right? Trua. Because of this. Let me get it. That's a good way to put it. In other words, in the Havamina, he was saying a positive expression of them being synonymous. And the way Maskana is saying, no, we can't do that, but you know what we can do? We can show they're not exclusive of each other. So he says this. He says, the Im Tomar, see what's the Im Tomar? The Aleph, tough. A couple lines down. Yeah. The Chimafsaki, my Havi. Now it's amazing. He's asking a question on. This is only by Achronim never do this. Actually, never. Almost, I've never seen an Achronim do this before. Rishonim does this so. He's asking a question on the Havamina. Meaning, it's amazing. Because the Gemara says, what would I think? I think that a tekiah, right? If I know the short sounds, the authentic one, what does that make the long sound? A hefsek. So what am I doing? Tekiah, X, Shrua tekiah. And that's a hefsek. His question is, what do you mean it's a hefsek? Meaning, why would the Gemara even ask the question that's a hefsek? You'll see why this is important. It's very intriguing. He says, "Ahat Tanya b'samach shama sheteisha tkiyos b'teisha shalos b'yam yatsa." Okay, what's the raya for it? Because you see, there's a Gemara before that says, "If I heard a tkiyah at 9 o'clock, a tkiyah at 10 o'clock, and a tkiyah at 11 o'clock, I'm yotze." Okay, now let me ask you a question before we go on. What's problematic about the Ron's raya on the surface? I want you to pick up on this.
Rambam's
forget the Rambam. No, I'm saying what he's writing right now. What? Oh, so he says, good. So he says, that Thila Rabbi Abo, Damar Gemara, Liyatza, so even according to Rabbi Abo, who made up our Takana, right, who doesn't paskin that way, Hani Mili Kishishal Ligmar Skula, as long as I wait for an entire set, meaning if I waited enough time for an entire set to go by, right, then I'm not Yotze. Ava Haka Lo Shah. But here, how much time went by? What, say again?
It's only if you wait, or if you do something active.
So, okay, good. So the problem with this, it's very subtle, but I'm spoon-feeding you guys a little bit, but it's to make your lives easier. The problem is that it's not a good raya. Why? Because there could be a very big difference, hefsek-wise, between waiting versus doing something. Right. I don't know why waiting, I mean, I do know, I think I know where, but I'm saying at this point, why would you say that waiting and blowing a foreign shofar blast are equivalent? Maybe I'd say no. A guy can wait. That's not a hefsek, right? If I do nitilas adayim before I'm otzi, I could wait a long period of time.
There were 9 tekiyot and 9 hours. Certainly something happened in between.
Okay, so that's good. You're right. Something has to happen in between. But let's just think conceptually. Let's pretend for a second that our Buddhist friend over here, our Eastern-minded Buddhist, Ariel Tucker, he has such power over his psyche, and he meditates, and he can blow a tekiyah. And for 3 hours, just meditate, enter the realm of metaphysics, right? And then blow another tekiah. You're right. Practically, it will never happen. I agree. So what I want you guys to do is read the two answers, okay? Actually, it's more than that. Read the answers for the first bracket, work out that svara, and then read the second bracket, and then work out that svara, okay? Hopefully, I'm going to try to get the lower.